various people in the community to what it's like to be an employee who has a disability, and Miles and Casey are here to help us answer some questions and talk to us about that. Also to what it's like to be an employer who then hires someone who has a disability, and Alex and Kevin are here to talk about that. And then Giovanni is here at the very end. He'll talk a little bit about owning a business as someone with a disability, and Giovanni is certainly an expert in that. He can talk about all of that. So I think those of you who hopefully got the emails with the list of questions, Miles and Casey, I'm going to go ahead and start with you guys, okay? So I'll ask you a question, and then if you guys want to take turns answering the question, does that work okay, Casey? Okay, Miles?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'm going to ask the first question. So I'm going to ask questions of Casey and Miles, and then if Kevin and Alex, you guys want to just kind of give an overview of what things are like, you can stick to the questions or not, totally up to you, and then Giovanni will end with you if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on in.
Jacob.
Okay, so for Miles and Casey, the first question that I want to ask you, and Casey, if you could answer first, and then Miles, if you can answer after Casey.
Yes.
So how hard was it to find an employer who would hire you?
I was with my job coach. That she told me everything about my skills and everything that I do in my life. She helped me for being on time, clocking in on my time card, and working my hands for special skills during my fast pace.
So where do you work, Casey?
Fire and Wine.
You work at Fire and Wine. And
yes.
What do you do there?
I prep baked protein pasta if I was in here.
You prep, tell me again, you prep?
I was prepping and portioning pasta.
Portioning pasta. Okay.
Yes.
And you found the job through the help of your job coach, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. What's your job coach's name?
Her name is Iris.
Iris. Okay. Fantastic. Miles, can you tell us how
yes.
you found your job?
Physical. It took a lot of time. 3 hours. I know. 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
So you found your job 3 years ago?
Yes.
Did you find it by yourself or did someone help you find it?
I make it happen. I did. I said yes.
So you made it happen?
Yeah.
And where do you work?
I work at Blackberry Market.
Blackberry Market? And what do you do at Blackberry Market?
I do. Plastic tables, and I do the washing, the
so
washer.
You bus tables?
Yeah.
What was the other thing?
The washer.
Dishwasher.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
I do the woodies too.
What was the other thing?
The woodies.
Deliveries.
Fantastic. So you do dishwashing, deliveries,
yes.
and busing tables?
Yeah.
Very, very good. So, Casey. I'm going to go back to you. Do you like your job?
I do.
Why do you like your job? What do you like about it?
Because it is a fancy Italian European restaurant that I really enjoy. there's like a lot of people walking around being motivated to do whatever they got to do.
So you like the fact that you're in a fancy Italian restaurant?
Yes.
You like the fact that there are a lot of people walking around and they help keep you motivated?
Yes.
Excellent. Do you get along with the people you work with?
I do. I do talk to people in the kitchen.
Fantastic.
And I do, like, Jesus, Tommy Spanish.
Oh, so you're learning, Spanish in the kitchen too.
Yes, like, hola, poquito, amigo.
What about all the words you're not supposed to know?
Yeah,
those too.
He's
not
gonna
share
those now.
I don't like swearing.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Miles, do you like where you work?
I do.
What
yeah.
do you like about it?
Because I like to hire the customers. Mm-hmm. I love coworkers.
You like saying hi to the customers.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about your job you like? You said coworkers, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like walking to walk.
Oh, do you like to walk?
Yeah, I got a lot of time.
Okay. Even if it's raining, you like to walk to work?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Wonderful. So, Casey, one more question. So when you started your job, who or what helped you learn the things you needed to learn?
Sometimes I ask for help from managers.
Okay, so your managers help you out.
Like Nate and Wes.
Okay, Nate.
Nate and Wes, yes.
Okay.
Wes.
Nate and Wes?
Yes.
So you asked them when you need help. So were they the ones who trained you when you first started?
The first day I was with Iris.
You were with Iris. And that's your job coach, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
She shadowed.
She did. She would go with him for the first few times.
Okay. And then that helped you get to learn kind of the kitchen and how it's laid out and what you were supposed to do. You mentioned some of those things in the beginning, right? You learned to wash your hands.
Yeah, all of the above, yes.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Can you tell us anything else you want us to know about your work?
Sometimes me and my parents always love to come down and have dinners.
Okay, so you like to go there for dinner?
Yes, I do.
When you're not working?
Yes.
Oh. And when you go there for dinner, when you're not working, do you like to say hi to the coworkers?
I always say hi to coworkers and managers and people in the kitchen in the back too.
And do they treat you nice?
They treat me really nicely.
That's great. That's fantastic. Miles?
Yes?
Who helped you when you were new? Who helped you learn how to do your job?
My managers.
Your, say that again.
I don't know.
You don't remember. That's okay.
Your
managers.
Yeah.
Your managers. Okay. And was that, I have to think about this, is that Kevin?
Yeah, it's him, yes.
Kevin, so Kevin helped you?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Was there any other managers or a co-worker?
Kathy.
Kathy?
Yeah.
Did you have a job coach?
Iris is your job coach? Yeah, sure, yeah.
And Cassidy
yes.
is your job coach?
Yes.
Okay, so you had two different job coaches.
Yeah, yes.
So when you first started, did they come with you? Now they don't?
Not every day.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell us about your job?
Sometimes my employee really helps me.
Sometimes? Are you pointing to your cards?
Yeah.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes they really help me.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I think we
did
that
one,
right?
Oh, you did?
You had to look at the card.
Sometimes the card on you?
No,
is that all you want to say?
You can
take a rest if you want.
I don't know.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay, so we're going to ask some of the employers, Kevin and Alex, some questions now, okay? So Casey and Miles, listen and make sure they're telling us the truth. All right. Perfect. So, Alex and Kevin, we're kind of going to do the same thing, if you don't mind. I'll ask the question. And then when we're done with the questions, if there's anything else you guys want to talk about, feel free to do that. So did you guys have to make a lot of accommodations when you hired either Casey or
Sure. So just to clarify, I'm filling in for Nate Cooper, the general manager, so I'll just be reading his responses. So his response was, no, Casey was wonderful, and immediately jumped right in and got to work. Casey has a workstation that's dedicated to him for the hours in which he works at Fire & Wine. He comes into work, knows exactly where he'll be working, and we have his work set out for him, and he's very much settled into his role. So like Casey mentioned earlier, his role is that he helps us with our prep. specifically on Saturdays and Sundays, which I think you're every Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yes.
Which means for the sheer quantity of pasta that we do is a really, really important role. We have this station set up. He has a spot to work in, and really no other requirements from there.
Fantastic. Kevin?
Sure. Miles is a busser for us. As he mentioned, he does dishes, supports the dining room.
Yep.
Is very vocal with our guests, which is incredible. Also, I did not grow up in the Western Burbs, so we had the opportunity to go to the Glen Ellen Awards the other night, and I realized
Miles
is basically the mayor of this town. he does add a great service to our dining room from a hospitality standpoint, which is also something he did not mention.
Okay.
I think most of our prep, and I'll speak on behalf of our entire team, because this was a new experience, and it still is a very new experience for me, was mostly information and communication from certainly the family. Julie and Dave have been very supportive in communicating with us, responding when we needed to change tactics or deliver verbiage, and then obviously also Iris has been a key player. Miles and I basically worked at BlackBerry at the same timeline. So I watched Iris really help him become comfortable in the environment, which, to be transparent, was probably the biggest concern that I did have in a space like the two restaurants we're discussing. The pace and volume and intensity can be something that we have no control over. So making sure that Miles is comfortable in the space was paramount, and I think Iris did a huge service to him of creating those boundaries and making him feel good when he was there, and we've watched that not ever be a problem anymore. So that was really great. But I think when I say information, it was more a lot of people on our team were also having a first-time experience with someone with a disability, so understanding their role in the process of even touch point or pseudo trainer. So that's been really helpful of like a certain situation that we would then present to the family and also the coach, and they could give us some actually more specific instruction about what to do in service on the floor with Miles if we wanted to be more concise in what we were delivering. And I actually do think Miles said, be hard on me. He's grown quite a rapport with the large majority of our team to the point where he is playful and funny and sometimes taking jabs at people, usually at my expense, which is also, I think, showcased his comfort level raise. So I think structurally, Miles works a shorter shift, which makes sense in our environment. And I think we've probably nailed what that amount of time is, where it's beneficial for him and also beneficial for the team. And non-peak days for us. I think because Miles is part of the fluidity of our dining room during service, we found it more beneficial for him to not be in the dining room on Saturday afternoon. So that, those moments where I'm sure most of you have been there, it gets a little out of hand. It was just not beneficial. So communication, the structure of his shift, but most notably, the job coach being the intermediary player for me and our entire team has been super valuable.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, Alex, with you as well, the communication played a large role in helping both Casey and Miles adjust to, but then also you guys adjusting to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about communication. Job coach, supporting the family, and then Miles and Casey themselves.
Yeah.
That be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's true of any employee when you have that clarity of this is the expectation and this is how I expect you to, carry that on. That's gonna make for a good management of any employee.
Okay.
And I was just gonna talk to you when we started just to make sure that communication is going both ways in a way that's beneficial to everybody.
Great. Thank you. So next question. Did it cost any extra money to train either Casey or Miles from a business standpoint as the employers?
I think if I were to go first on this one, I think my answer is slightly abstract because I don't know if I could quantify a bottom line amount. I think extension of training was the only real structured element that I would be honest about to ensure that Miles had the tools that he needed to be successful in the environment. We took more time.
Okay.
But I think to kind of jump on that, like, that happens with a lot of employees.
Right.
Regardless of what they're coming in to do for the team. But bottom line, no. And I would argue it's the opposite, especially experiencing Miles with our guests and what he's delivering from a community engagement standpoint, that scale is probably tipped in our favor.
Okay.
So I think patience and committed time on the front end to give him the tools, make him comfortable, has now translated to, like, people know who Miles is in our environment, they're looking for him, and he's part of the service experience. So I would say the positive is probably in the business's favor at this point.
Okay. So definitely it took a little extra time,
yeah,
but the end result far outweighed,
yeah,
that little bit of extra time that it might have taken.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nate's response here is essentially the same thing. It just says took time for him to get comfortable, but there was no additional expense. That could be anybody. I'm our bar trainer. I can attest that all the time. Yeah, it just says it took him a little bit of time to get into his group, but it didn't take very long at all to scheme things. So.
Okay. For the new people who just came in, first of all, thank you for coming and welcome. I did want to make sure to let you know that we are recording this conversation. Okay? Okay. So what we're doing right now is we talked to Casey and we talked to Miles and we got some information about them, about their employment. We are now talking to their employers and asking them some information, and then we'll continue with the program. So the last question that I'm going to ask you guys, the last formal question, if you will, was there any impact on the other employees when Casey or Miles started?
Well, let me start with this one. Just because I very much echo Nate's sentiment here, the only impact having Casey work with us was positive. And Casey mentioned that the other employees helped keep him motivated. I would argue it tilts the other way. Casey comes in, he's always excited to work. He's got his music going, he's dancing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But when you get that slump on Saturday and Sunday and everybody's feeling a little bit tired and a little bit, you know, dragging, and then Casey comes up with all this energy and all this excitement to be there, and I think it actually motivates the other employees as much as they motivate him. So Nate put here, Casey Portion and Costa is really beneficial to the kitchen because it frees up prep cooks to do other tasks. We have a massive amount of prep that goes into our weekends, as I'm sure you can attest at Blackberry too. Casey's front of house coworkers love having him in the building.
True.
He's constantly smiling, dancing, and just a wonderful vibe towards everyone. All right.
Fantastic. Kevin?
Sure. I'll speak for myself personally. As I briefly mentioned earlier, my first experience, I've been in restaurants for 21 years and a lot of environments that I unfortunately would not see how Miles blossomed in those spaces. So I'm grateful to Blackberry because I didn't create that space. I've joined this team. But like individual growth for me personally and professionally, not something I could have envisioned in my past restaurants and positions. So it's shaped me quite tremendously. Kathy, the woman that Miles mentioned, was our original GM and was certainly the advocate for Miles' start. And it has taught me a great deal in terms of what I'm looking for in an employee and what someone can bring to the table. So just it's impacted me tremendously and completely positively. It's forced me to grow, and like Miles is my buddy and gives me jabs at the shop. I think also the thing I wrote was like, I think it's actually upskilled most of our employees via the communication and engagement from the job coaches, both Iris and Cassidy. We've had opportunities where employees, managers, hourlies alike have come to me and said, this situation is occurring, I don't feel like I can properly serve the situation, and then we're getting great feedback from, once again, family and job coach. So multiple employees on our team have said to me, like, this is teaching me so many things as well, because it's not just me managing Miles, our entire team has welcomed him, and certainly there to support him. So I think we've watched multiple players on our team at many levels grow themselves by association, which has been great. And like positive experience, same thing. Like the community engagement level is through the roof with Miles in our space. For me, not being from Glen Ellyn, I'm meeting and meeting and learning about regulars through Miles in our space every time that he's there. So, you know, the reservations that I maybe had internally when this journey began have turned into something that is a uniquely positive experience all the time, which I know I speak for our whole team that they've seen it as well. So, really grateful.
So, you guys have answered the three questions. Good job. Way to go. Is there anything else you want to kind of just ad lib or add? Otherwise, I'm going to let you do that in just a minute if you want to. Otherwise, then Giovanni will finish up with you. I can either ask you the questions and you can answer, or I can just let you be. And then after Giovanni finishes, for those of you who are here, who are the presenter, we'll open it up so anybody can ask anybody a question or ask for clarification, yep, etc. Okay? So first, Alex and Kevin, anything you guys want to just kind of wrap up or talk about before we hand it over to Giovanni?
I can speak to my own experience since I've been sort of reading the script here. I'm the bar manager at Fire and Wine, which means my work doesn't directly cross over with Casey's very often. But I can say as a coworker of his, I'm not his boss. It's been a great experience. Like the light that you bring to the process when you come into the building and you've got somebody here who's just so excited to be here and so positive and hardworking. I mean, I think Casey works harder than most of our firm staff.
Casey says, yeah, you're right.
Got his head down, he's doing it. Nate put in his notes, the odds are if you come in on a weekend and had a pasta at Fire and Wine, Casey portioned that, which is crazy. We're probably two of the busiest restaurants in town. And since you mentioned the community works, we were restaurant of the year last year and Blackbird's restaurant of the year this year.
Wow.
So we had the honor of having that. Two of the busiest shops in town that are so wonderfully impacted by Casey's contribution and everyone's contribution, which honestly, to speak to my own experience that I just wouldn't have anticipated, which has been really, really cool and really awesome, and I get a wonderful coworker out of it. So
fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I were to say one more thing, I think what has been the most influential for me as an operator from my professional lens is that I'm really hopeful that what we've achieved with Miles is the template for duplication. And I think that this community is clearly, it's clearly aware enough and supportive enough to take the time to do something like this. So I agree, like Miles is not just, doing a task at a small cafe, same with Casey, like they're working at high volume, like busy restaurants
that are full
all the time and are demanding of their attention, their work ethic. So it's been fun for me to see that hopefully what we've learned together can be translated to more people, which is really cool.
Fantastic.
That's nice.
Thank you. All right. So Giovanni, how do you want me to do this? Do you want me to ask you questions?
No, you're just gonna take it and go.
Okay.
So I'm gonna speak from both sides as somebody who's disabled and somebody who's a business owner, okay? So for the disabled side of things, everyone with a disability, well, most everybody, all they want to do for their life, they want to be independent, okay? And out of that independence, you'll get people that are fiercely loyal if you can match them up with a job that they like. So when you talk about the job coaches that Miles and Casey had, that all comes probably from the state, either division of Department of Human Services or Rehab Services, and anybody that has a disability, because I know I'm blind, so there's job coaches for people that are blind. These guys, autism, right, for both of them?
Yeah.
Down syndrome, okay. Down syndrome, whether it's Down syndrome, autism, there's job coaches for every disability, and it's, you know, it's the mission of the Department of Human Services to make sure that they can put, you know, match up people with disabilities with a job that, that they can do, and they will put resources into it. When you ask the question about, you know, because from a business standpoint, well, you know, is it going to cost me extra? What are the accommodations I got to do? Okay, so as a business owner, I get those questions, you know, because it affects the bottom line. But for you know, for the person that's disabled, they have there's resources that are available to be put into, you know, any situation, whether it's, you know, the restaurant with you know, in the case of Miles and Casey, or if it's in a factory setting, or if it's in an office setting where, you know, you just need either some sort of special software or any sort of accommodation to, you know, be able to perform the job depending on what the, what somebody's disability is. Okay. From a from the business ownership point of view, at least for myself, I've been in business for myself since 2004. I've been, you know, basically blind since I was 18 years old. But and my family has restaurants, Matone Restaurant in LaGrange Park, and of course Italian in Glenview. So I've been in, you know, in the restaurant, and you know, to have somebody with a disability, it just it opens everybody else's eyes that's around them, which obviously I see with Alex and Kevin here. Okay. But for somebody that, you know, that's a business owner and disabled, I look specifically, I mean, you know, I tell people I discriminate against normal people. Okay? I look for somebody that's blind or disabled. I have two guys that are deaf. You know, they're not completely deaf. They can both talk, but they both, you know, hearing aids, sign language. And for me, it's I've got a business where it's vending, office coffee, and micro markets. So, matching up with somebody that's deaf just makes sense. They can see, they can drive. Okay, if they can't hear, not a problem. I hear perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, I hear better than everybody else, and you know, I have no problem communicating with them. I had a kid that was totally deaf working for me for a year. All right, he couldn't talk, so it was reading. You know, he could read lips, and we would text back and forth. So technology can really level the playing field for a lot of people that are disabled. So from the business owner's point of view, you know, there really isn't very much of a cost. Another problem business owners have is they don't want to offend people. They don't want, you know, but they have questions they ask. And I tell business owners all the time, hey, if you go to anybody and just tell them, say, hey, listen, I want to ask questions, but I don't want to offend you. If, you know, can I ask a question? And if it offends you, hey, you know, just let me know. But the only way, at least, you know, for me, I take it upon myself, to be able to, you know, engage businesses or engage, you know, whether it's an account that I'm trying to sell and, or, you know, try to put vending machines in, you know, I need to teach them about me, about being blind. The same way I'm sure Miles and Casey teach people about their disabilities, okay? And, you know, once you can put somebody at ease, then it starts to become easier for business owner to say, okay, you know, this won't be as bad. We can have somebody come in, job coach, you know, to help us through this. And once they can start to embrace the process of having that happen, because listen, if you look at what it costs, what, you know, the wasted money in training normal people, it's way more than you're going to spend on training somebody with a disability. And, you know, just the math just doesn't lie. You know, that's just how it is.
Is that because of lower turnaround?
Well, if you usually if there's you know, a job coach is going to match up somebody for a good situation. Mm-hmm. So if you're working with a job coach, they're already, you know, trying to have, they, you know, they got a bunch of different people in mind. So they need to see what the particular work is, and they know who their clients are and who might be the best fit for it. Now, it's not going to be the best fit every time, okay? So, you know, I'm not, you know, it's obviously nothing's 100%, but, you know, you're way ahead of the game in having somebody, and obviously, once you find somebody good, you know, you see what you have here and with Miles and Casey.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. You know, that's something that obviously you all have seen here, you know, from talking here today, and what Alex and Kevin have seen working closely with them. So, I don't know, does anybody have a question?
Does anyone have questions of anybody?
Well, I have, like, a question for any of the employers, and Giovanni, you'd be a good one since you're on both ends. I think I have a child with a disability, so I know the benefits, you know, fighting for inclusion in schools all these years, right? But how do you convince an employer who might be hesitant? What do you say to them? What do you present them with? How, you know, because, you know, we've had situations where they're just not up for it. They, you know.
So you're always going to find some closed-minded people. You know, you can try to beat them over the head with everything to try to get them to open up. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, for me, I move on to the next person, to the next business. There's plenty of businesses out there. You know, you know, if you're just out there to make a statement at the expense of that business owner, I mean, yeah, you might be able to make your statement, but you still might not get a job out of it. You know, all you might get is resentment from other business owners if they see, well, you know, why am I even going to, you know, bother if you know, if somebody's just going to come after, you know, keep coming at me. But in order to go in, you got to have a plan. You got to say, hey, you know, if there's a job that you know will match up well with somebody that has a particular disability, okay?
Yeah.
For blind people, all right, we can do vending machines, all right? You're going to ask, how can I do a vending machine? And I'll be more than happy to answer that later, okay? But it's, you know, it just works. I'm, you know, for me, I'm the chairman of the committee of Illinois Committee of Blind Vendors. I am, you know, I represent 100 of blind men and women up and down the state. Okay, that includes 3 blind deaf blind vendors that run their own businesses.
Yeah,
and you know. Was it easy to get them trained? Absolutely not. All right, but you know, it takes some extra time. But you have to have, there has to be a plan in place, and there are people out there. There are resources out there. Just a matter of getting connected with somebody, either from, you know, rehabilitation services or human services, to find, you know, the right person. But once you find that person, you know, and you can go into a business, then hey, you gotta. You know, sometimes going at the business owner, not the best plan.
Yeah.
Go start with the person in HR, you know, and see if you can find something. You know, you want to work with them. You're not trying to force something. You know, you want to find a good fit to be able to have people work at a particular, you know, at whatever the business is. So, you know, have a plan. Match, you know, find the right match, and you know, and hopefully whoever, you know, the person with the disability, hey, they have to be motivated and wanna work and be independent as well. So it's, yeah, you know, it cuts both ways.
Can I add to that, Laura? So
yeah.
We've had a great experience. Thank you, Fireline, and employers like BlackBerry. Wonderful.
Thank you.
But sometimes it hasn't always worked out, right? And so Casey's had a number of different jobs. And I don't think it's so much that we had to convince the employer to hire him. I think they wanted to help, but they weren't sure what to do with it.
Yeah.
And in one case, like they put him upstairs folding pizza boxes, right? We tried to encourage them to, you know, get him in front of people, and push him like any other employee. He can do anything, right? At home, we treat him just like any other child. Do you make your bed, do the dishwasher, right? And so I don't know that they wanted to push him in that way. Another one that didn't work out, and this is a testament to job coaches. We haven't been with a job coach in a couple of years. And that sort of first couple weeks of shadowing is really, truly invaluable. And I think a lot of adults with special needs love routine. Casey loves routine, right? And he's got to have his routine. And this latest job that we had, he wanted to understand when he was done, right? And, you know, he just needs to get it in his straight, in his mind, straight how long he's going to be there. So when he showed up, he asked when he was going home. And they kind of assumed that he wanted to go home. You know, and so without that job coach to ease him into that, and that's just normal behavior that he just needs a routine. And right, pasta portioning. He's got it down, right? He knows, and he does the same thing, and that's really what, so having that job coach is super valuable from that perspective.
Well, that's what I wondered, like when you go and you present, top hesitation? Like, oh, I don't have time to train them. Oh, it's going to cost me. So do you, is that what you say? Like, okay, we're coming in with a job coach.
You want to be able to present them with the answers to their questions. Because you all already know what the answers are. If you've tried to have somebody, you try to get a job, obviously the parents all know because they've gone into different jobs. It's all the same stuff. How long will it take to train? What kind of accommodations? How do I treat them? What do I do? Nobody wants to offend anybody. That's the main thing. And once you can make them comfortable, it goes a long way. But yeah, you have to have some answers and be familiar with whatever the job is at that business that you're going to. So and that's where job coaches or somebody else with the state that that works with that particular where their field is that disability, they've got those answers. So the resources are out there. You just have to know who to tap into to get the answers.
Yeah.
Hey,
what was your name, sir?
Laura.
I think, and I'm speaking on behalf of Kathy, our original GM at BlackBerry. I think something that is a core to our business is our involvement in the community. It's something we speak about, and we do orientations with all of our new employees about who Anna and Bob are, the fact that their family is from this community, and we want to engage. So I think the humanity side of it was what was driving Kathy's choice, even though she knew the practicality was the hesitation. So I think the mutually beneficial outcome, now that we're 3 years in, is what I would showcase coming to an employer, because I'm trying to speak truthfully about my initial hesitation as an operator, because instinctively the business operator in me was the one hesitating, not the person. And I'm grateful that Kathy saw what she wanted to choose to see.
Yeah.
And then that trickled down through our team. But I will also say I did not know that a job coach was an option at the beginning. So I do think that that is a structural element that could be presented to the operator that is hesitating to say, like, we have these tools to make this successful in this amount of time. And I don't know if this is accurate, but I felt like there was no timeline with the job coach whenever it was presented to me as a resource. So once that seemed easy to tap into, which it was, phone call, email, immediate response was my experience, that it would felt almost like an unlimited resource, and that it was like tappable. So Miles would go, for instance, for a while, Miles was just doing dining room support, but wasn't actually operating the dish machine. And then we had a conversation when we agreed that it was a goal that we wanted to set for him. And the job coach had been gone, and at this point it was Cassidy, a different woman, but she then came back and worked with us about just this task of new training. So it was a secondary layer of Miles' training once he had been in the building for probably a year and a half or so. So I think that all of those resources were unknown to me because it was a new experience. So I think it's pretty easy for you to assume that the person that you're talking to, the business owner, operator, is probably in our same shoes, that they have little to no experience. I think in a weird way also, a restaurant is a unique work environment, which is why I think I was hesitant at the beginning, because there's multiple times in the day where the team has to be on task because I can't give them individual support.
Mm-hmm.
Growing out of that now, I mean, to the point where Miles is joking with employees, and it sounds like Casey's doing some of the same, means that they're fully incorporated into the team because they're on task and having side conversations. So, I think maybe a more detailed presentation of what the resources are so that person can engage you. I certainly was nowhere close to this conversation, even just to, you know, 1 or 2 years ago.
You know, and I've been thinking about that because when Casey started, it's been a while now.
Yeah.
And Iris did come in, and she would come in on Saturday with him because he works Saturday and Sunday. And she wouldn't stay the whole time, but unless she needed to, but really. And then it would be fine.
Yeah.
And then I think she came back one or two times just to make, you know, just she check in and be there to make sure everything was going smoothly. And then it went very smoothly. But she was there, and I feel like we could have called her if we needed her, even if she had moved away. We could have continued to call her, I think. So I do think that would be, she sort of took that over and came in with Casey, found the job. So, you know, I think moving forward, if we were to try to get him another job during the week, I would immediately say that. We were working with the job coach and they can come in and be, you know, supporting. So you or your staff doesn't have to.
Yeah, when he had a different experience, Giovanni, I also have a son with special needs.
Say hi, Jacob.
Hi.
We approached a restaurant and they hired, and it was, as we went down the path, Jacob was already out of transition, so job coach, which is, I think, where both of you all started with a transition job coach.
Yes.
The manager in the restaurant was very much used to hiring people with special needs and had her own way of doing that. And so what I came to find down the line was that the individuals that came in for training purposes from transition programs were there as volunteers. Once you were a paid employee, the assumption would be that you would be working without a job coach, which was not explained to me up front, nor, you know, we didn't communicate effectively in that way, I guess. And when I came back and said something about, you know, having more job coaching in place to create more success, that was sort of the response that I got, is that, you know, well, that was done in the volunteer stage, and as a paid employee, that's not what we do. And of course, this individual maybe didn't know that, you know, it wouldn't have cost them anything to have DRS, you know, send in a job coach or whatever. And I'm not sure that we're gonna pursue that. We've taken a break from that job. I'm not sure that the environment of a restaurant is the right environment for us.
Sure.
But, you know, sometimes the way things come about, you don't have all the pieces laid out, so it's just a different experience for us.
You know, maybe you know, less from Casey's other job experience and from this whole discussion,
is that that should just be the starting point. Is, okay, we're going to come with the job coach at the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think that's
What I'm hearing from this discussion.
Yeah, so we've changed. We're going through that process right now.
If you think he needs a job coach, then start with the job coach.
Yeah.
And not try to add it later. Now you're getting into something that's already started and it's harder to get it going.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's acknowledging to the employer that, you know, we understand it may take a little longer and a little more effort to train them than it would a typical employee, and we are providing an extra resource to you because of that at no cost to you. Like, this is, you know, the job coach is available, so, you know, we acknowledge that, we realize that, you know, but that's not going to be necessarily on your staff. The goal is for the job coach to work with your staff to teach them and then fade away, but they're there and they're available.
I mean, I viewed it as a vital and amazing resource. So it's unfortunate to hear that was the outcome, because
that's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's like they said, like, okay, you can, like, our expectation is you're going to have assistants to be trained, and then boom, that's it. That's your chance. Once that training's done, you're expected to be able to do it. You know, like,
I think we didn't add that element. Like, Iris was training us.
And an effective job.
I needed some training too. I felt like, at least I always speak of our team, but I think, like Giovanni said, that that barrier that to not offend enforces inaction. Mm-hmm. That it gave our team a resource to say something profound, or like say a perceivably dumb question because they just had never experienced it. So yeah, we had an overwhelmingly positive experience with both resources, and it was maybe not at the very beginning. So I think this is enlightening that at the beginning we could maybe draw that map a little clearer. But once it was a resource for us, we realized how accessible it was, which was vital for us to be confident. So.
Well, and especially coming from the places that Kevin and I do, is your job's first job?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
looking for it.
She's had several jobs. I just kind of wanted to bring it up in general.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, we just had one instance along the way where someone was like,
unfortunate.
That's going to be too much work.
But in looking for a position, whether it's your first job or not, staying, you know, within a community like we have, Black Ray and Fire and Wine being, you know, very true to Glen Ellen and very much involved in our community. And, you know, Casey's parents, like, are regulars of mine at the bar. Like, having that sense of community.
I love that. They're regulars at the bar.
We order food, too.
I know Casey's parents. But having that sense of community and that sense of involvement that, you know, these are, like, Miles knows all the BlackBerry patrons and is able to introduce his manager to people. Having that tight-knit community and that feeling of oneness really helps with the training process. And it really helps with, I think, everybody's perception going into it, that this is a member of our community and we're working with them. And it's, instead of, oh, how are we going to do this? It's, how are we all going to do this? You know, it's, there's a little bit, I think, more of the cliche of we're all family, but the familial sense of taking care of one of our own and making sure that, you know, that involvement with your coworkers and with your regulars and with your employees, there's more of a sense of connectedness. And that way when, you know, not that we've really had any issues arise, but if there was a concern from an employer, I think that does a little bit to alleviate. Especially when you have, you know, a business like BlackBerry or Fire and Wine, it's very independently owned and very, you know, kind of close-knit. Mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot with that kind of general feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that happened to you with that restaurant. So. Yeah. It's so good to hear.
You know, one thing that strikes me, though, is just with the people who are here around the table. There's a great diversity within the special needs community. So not everybody, kind of as Giovanni said earlier, you find the right person for the right fit. Not everyone with a special needs needs a job coach. Not everyone with the special needs will fit in the restaurant business. Not everyone with special needs, et cetera, et cetera. So you can have someone like Giovanni, maybe one of your employees, who's deaf. Well, that person is, you know, capable of walking into your job site and learning the task without a job coach. But then there might be others who do require that, and it's be really important to tell that to whoever the hiring person is right up front. So I do think we have to keep in mind that within the world of special needs, there's a great diversity of what that means, who those people are, and what the various accommodations or needs are. Just wanted to say that.
This could be a profound thought, but like, instead of in, like an individual job reference, an old employee goes and gets a new job and I get a call, is there an opportunity for a potential employer to call me, even though Miles and I are not associated with what, who might be getting hired next, to engage in what the experience was like? So almost a situational job reference.
Gotcha.
Speaking of like the community and those things, I'd be completely open to something like that. Like, hey, we know this person had this experience. Here's the successful outcome. If you wanted to hear it from them, operator to operator, maybe that could break down some of that. Never done that before, but
yeah, we've tried that.
Yeah.
You know, because we are looking for additional work for Casey. Just
yeah.
For weekend, right? We're looking for. So we've tried that. Right. We've said Nate can talk. I don't know that they've reached out. I think that I keep coming back to it. I think the job coach just makes a little bit of extra difference.
Yeah.
Right, giving them that sense of comfort that they're going to provide training and guidance to get them through this.
But I love your thought. I love your thought saying,
that's really
like I'd be, you know, open to speaking with someone who would, you know, if an employer was hesitant, you know, to speak with you about what a good experience has been.
Yeah.
Because you have nothing...
Right.
You know, to gain by misleading anybody, you're in a situation that's worked out well,
and
it might give some comfort to another employer.
And I think, admittedly, like, we're still very much in the learning process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I only have one example in my whole career, so, like, I think there's a vulnerability there that I'm glad to be expressing, because the more I talk about it, the better we're getting at it, so...
So you have more experience than some, Kevin, and you have something
now
to offer to
yeah.
the person who's further behind you. I'm wondering if the chamber might be able to facilitate something like that within our own community.
Yeah.
Do you think that might be?
Absolutely, because I think what we're identifying is that the start might be the biggest barrier. Certainly. I would have been for me, and I think that's what's been so transformed for me, the individual, in this experience, is it's a combination of BlackBerry's the right place, but I've worked at many other places that weren't and would not have been the right place. I always speak of my experience with Miles. So
you have to remember, he made it happen.
Yeah, he
really did.
He did.
That's a whole other story.
Oh yes.
And that's like, if I were to say something like visceral, like Miles did his first 15 shifts with headphones on and was coming off the floor when it was too much. And now it's not something we would ever consider.
Nah.
He walks into the space and is immediately greeting every individual in the room. And I did not
Casey's
know.
Casey's boogieing around the kitchen.
Yeah. I didn't know that could be.
And for me, but first of all, I didn't know this, but except trying to Casey get to Miles, like, it was like more come by like sweating it, not sweating it, like, but to dig a bunny on, like, for some of, like, what Casey does, like, he does like to say, like, for some of, like, what Casey was always says, something he must say, like, someday I will get a kitchen, or someone like to get a proper dad, but I've seen him doing that.
He does work in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Models too, what he does do, yeah. Like his own thing. Like,
yeah,
he, let's talk about some like big goods and enjoy his lunches. So, just what I'm going to Bonnie, what's one of the last ones that push any issues we have, what the new about. Several kids give money off. You know what? Like, next door to each dog off, not causing cover at all, but it's not like going to West Point to West Point. Next door, but they have it to point in line.
Two corners,
yeah.
Right? Or on
So, my opinion would be like, except for two, I think we got to know this, but I'd like, to a little like mad opinion, but except your idea was, is we could combine Casey's generation to you guys, because he might say like this. Someday he can he be like, he might be he might advocate himself. He can like enjoy the experience in front of the wine. Let's see him in a community like that. So,
yeah.
Wow.
All right.
He'll
advocate for himself.
Awesome, Jacob.
I'm going to be all of the above of all of those things.
All those things.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions?
For me, a great play, because I said to the boys, they look nice, they're going to display,
right.
I have a question, Gio. What do you say to someone? You know, we got three young men here who very much have the spirit of good employees. What do you say to a younger guy in mid-20s who doesn't have the self-esteem? Just be like, hey, you got to put your time, you've got to put dedication into this. Someone who's got, you know, some autism, etc. What do you say?
Somebody with special needs that's in their 20s.
Yep.
That just not motivated.
Yeah, just like I just can't, or my autism gets in the way. I just don't think I can do it. Just like no self-esteem.
So. If it's a lack of self-esteem, I would say you gotta find a way to build it up. Whether and this might not be through a job. This might be through something. You gotta talk to that person and find out what do they like to do.
Yeah.
Start there. Let them be comfortable doing something. And you'll have to just build off of that. Like a normal kid, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Sometimes it's tough to figure out what makes them tick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing for somebody with a disability. You know, the disability isn't necessarily indicative of why they don't have the why they don't have self-esteem.
Yeah.
Right? It's not. Don't use it as the crutch. You gotta. You do have to figure out what they can do and try to put them in a position to succeed. And then you gotta have a conversation with them to see what it is they want to do. You know. Sometimes they might not. They might not know.
Yeah.
So maybe you have to put them in some sort of any kind of work situation just to see what kind of reaction you get from them, especially if they have zero experience.
Right.
It's a tough thing. You know, it's a tough thing for blind kids is gaining meaningful job experience.
Sure.
It's it's not easy. It's not easy. So it takes work, and you gotta, just like anyone else, you gotta figure out what makes them tick.
You know, Joshua, I believe in the power of volunteering, and volunteering was one of the things that we had thought of early on as a, because we thought that Miles would have a very long kind of process to get to being a paid employee like he is now, when he started at age 19. So the volunteering did a lot. It gave self-esteem over time. It gave him a chance to try different things to see what he was interested in. There was this, low pressure. It wasn't, a lot of work. It was, we started off with a little bit and then kind of built up to it. So that was one thing that I think, a younger person could do, even a person who hasn't done that in their 20s could also as a starting point. For someone who's younger, another thing that's really helpful is to insist in the high school setting that there's job training.
I imagine.
Okay. That's another thing, is you work with high school students, and that's your audience. So the volunteering and the insisting on job training in the high school will help them get there, and that's two of the things that help Miles get there. My advice for those younger folks that I would get my.
Yep. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First of all, I'd like to know your opinion about that. But first of all, I like to say, Julie, I like all that, the emotion you said. That was really nice.
Yeah.
And also, I like seeing everybody get some new jobs in our community, not causing the pandemic, but except for Miles and Casey.
Yeah.
Similar to our communities, but except we saw our infestation for a while. This has been up for 4 years now, but it was definitely growing, and people go west too, but two of them stall out for decades, and this is this year, so he's not going to, but people didn't like the job, but he just lost the job, so
we're
just using it on new employees like that.
Alright,
awesome.
Good deal.
Okay, Casey, the guy's paid.
Well, sometimes I do get paid, and sometimes I don't. All I'm trying to say is I have a lot of unexpected memories and this opportunity to bring all these communities in the right Compton hands that we have in ourselves. That's all of the above I have to say.
All right. Anything else?
So, one thing, I mean, I know you weren't able, we've got nobody here outside of Kevin and Alex from the business community, right?
Correct.
Around here. So, it's going to take, it's going to take effort to engage the business community around here first to try to figure out, who's open, who would be accommodating, and then try to get, some job coaches to check out that particular environment and see what would be a good match. So
sounds like that you're describing like a headhunter too, in a way. Kind of like someone who knows the fields and connects the location. That's awesome.
Well, and I think somebody mentioned the chamber, and I feel like maybe that would be a good topic to bring up with them at their meetings, bring this up, highlight or spotlight different people who are working in the community successfully, and just encourage businesses to be open-minded or to talk to somebody who's connected. It seems like it's a more formal way of making this feasible.
Well, they also are connected with both the retail businesses and the nonprofit businesses in the chamber. So it really is everything in our community is under that umbrella. So that's why I thought of them, because they really,
encompass the whole business community.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be a good agenda item for one of their meetings. Mm-hmm. Not like a lengthy thing like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we could have, you know, recommend as folks in someone to speak or to be that person to engage with the business.
Yeah, I mean, Alex and Kevin, your comments and your insight to be really helpful to me, and we're, you know, involved through Casey. So I feel like other people would be really interested in hearing something like that.
Great.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of us should approach them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have connections. Okay,
I already signed you up for that.
I got it. I'm going there tomorrow for a meeting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so if we do a quick, any last words kind of thing, and we'll let Miles and Casey go last this time, so
okay,
we can
yeah.
have the last yes. words. So first, we'll start with Giovanni, any last words, then Alex, then Kevin, then Miles, then Casey can have last words.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah. Yes.
So Giovanni, any last words?
Well, all I could say is, you know, I speak on behalf of myself, and I'm willing to bet I can speak on behalf of, you know, Miles and Casey, and probably Jacob over there too. And that's everybody just wants. Everyone wants to be treated the same. All right, regardless of if it's, you know, obviously Miles. If Miles can cut Kevin down, and Kevin can give it back, all right, that stuff's important. And sometimes people don't like that.
Yeah.
And that's okay too, okay. But when there is a chance to treat somebody the same or to do that, all the time I give it to other blind guys all the time, and they give it right back. So it's perfectly normal. So it's all a good thing.
Thank you, Alex. Any last words?
Your involvement in this is a little bit secondary, but it seems like just hearing all like the energy around this table and all of, you know, the great ideas that are bouncing around, we've got this formative action happening now on the legal. It's just been really inspirational, so thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming. Tell
thank
me
you
said thanks for agreeing and then for you coming into this place. So
I've got all of his comments, so all the good words
perfect.
Are his.
Yeah.
I think approaching this conversation, I was glad that Miles and I have spent this much time together so that I could be as vulnerable as possible. I don't think I realized how every party was going to benefit tonight. Everyone seems to have learned something, which means the more we talk about it, the better, which is why I said, if another business owner wants to call me and say, what was your experience, why would we not utilize that opportunity? Because I do think that it was really just the initial barrier of hesitation for me as the manager of the entire operation. And as soon as Miles was in our space, everything else seemed natural and easy. I didn't have to convince anyone on our team to buy into whatever type of effort you could say we've given him to make him successful. So I think it's really that initial pause that we need to break the barrier of, because I don't think anyone's doing it intentionally. I think it's a you know, unconscious reaction. So what we're doing right now is super encouraging. I'm happy to be a part of it. And I think that we're hopefully setting ourselves up. As I said, Miles has been the template for me professionally, and to help duplicate that would be incredible.
Miles, do you
want to
have a last thing to say, either about your job or
we have a great team, about three. And I would say our cooperation is great. That's it.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thanks for coming tonight. We appreciate that. Casey, do you want to say anything about your job as the last thing to be said tonight?
I am really thankful and appreciate all the hard work and support for this community. And I really am to be honored and delightful for coming here with a bunch of smiley faces that we have right now.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you very much.
One of the things about the Let's Talk is that we do hope it, sort of as you alluded to, is the beginning of further conversation. So hopefully we will be able to find it in different ways, either through the chamber or continuing through the library, different ways of continuing this conversation and pushing it forward to a broader, more audience, and sort of Giovanni, as you said, more business people in town would be great.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone very much for coming.
You.
Tanya, I think, is going to give a little bit of appreciation to all the individuals who came and actually spoke tonight.
Okay,
Miles, Kevin.